In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, this is Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. We're looking at Hebrews 13. The scripture tells us in the 7th verse, remember. That's a very important word, remember. It has more to do than what's in our head. It means also to make present. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. So the letter to the Hebrews tells us that the leaders were probably martyrs. They were probably martyrs. This is a letter that's written to the Hebrew Christians. And St. Paul tells whoever is writing this, some people say St. Paul, other people say not St. Paul, whoever's writing it, it's inspired. He tells us to consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith, which means that we are to go all the way with the Lord. All the way, you know. I made a decision a long time ago. All the way. We're not going to quit in midstream, no matter what happens. And I will tell you what will happen. Whatever that is, will happen. To try to dissuade you from going all the way, because who we carry in our hearts is the greatest treasure that there is. For it tells us in Paul's letter to the Corinthians that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure of the presence of God is in earthen vessels, clay pots, I say cracked pots, so that the glory would go to God and not to us. And because the treasure is in clay pots, we are very weak, and what will happen, if you know what I'm saying. When we decide to follow the Lord, there will always be a what that will want to deter us. And St. Paul says, follow and imitate the leaders. The leaders who probably gave their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says something most important. Jesus, the Messiah, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that's really true. That's really true that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he is incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He's born in Bethlehem. But he is the same as he was from all eternity with the Father, the same that he is now and was as he walked the shores of the Galilee, which means all that Jesus is and does and did, he can do today for those who have faith. He is the same. He forgives sins today. He forgave sins while he walked the earth. How come we can believe that Jesus forgives sins and we don't believe that Jesus heals bodies? I'll tell you why. Because we can rely upon the faith of the church that Jesus forgives sins, and he does. But when it comes to the healing of a body, we cannot rely upon the faith of the church. We have to have the faith of the church must be our faith. There's a big difference. The church's faith is very important. But you see, unless the church's faith becomes our faith, we are always spectators when it comes to Jesus. So I know I'm going to go off a little right now, but I have to. In the 6th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah was a priest. He went to do his priestly function. And God appeared to Isaiah, and he heard the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of his glory." That day, the faith of Israel became the faith of Isaiah. You see, the faith of Israel became the faith of Isaiah that day. when he said, when the Lord said, whom shall we send? And he said, Lord, I am a sinful man. And sin never gets in the way of God. Now he purges it through the blood of Jesus. Then he took a coal and put it on his lips. And the Isaiah said, send me. But you see, what happened that day in the sixth chapter of Isaiah is that the faith of Israel became the faith of Isaiah. If we want to look at the first chapter of Ezekiel, we see that his conversion, the faith of Israel, became the faith of Ezekiel in the first chapter. If we want to look at the first chapter of Jeremiah, the faith of Israel became the faith of Jeremiah in that first chapter. When he said, I am too young, whom shall we send? And the Lord said, do not say that I am too young, for to whomever I send you, you will go. In the fifth chapter of St. Luke, St. Peter says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And Jesus says to him, henceforth you will be catching fish, men, not fish. So we see that the faith of Israel becomes the faith of Peter in the fifth chapter of St. Luke. So when it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that is absolutely true. But for us to experience that, we have to have the faith of the church becomes our faith, that we believe. That we believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as a result, he does the same things that he did then. He forgives sins, he heals bodies, he converts people. He's the Lord, he's a wonder worker, he's a doctor. So this whole experience of Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever, whether we believe it or not, it's true. During the year 2000, it was the motto that we all had on our doors for the millennium. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you know what? We don't believe that. Only in theory, because if we believed it, we'd be doing the works of God. And we'd be trusting him for the greater works. We'd be trusting him for the greater works. But it takes the faith of the church to become your faith. And I will tell you that when that begins to happen, there will be obstacles. Because someone doesn't want that to be. Let's continue. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then it says, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is well that the heart be strengthened by grace and not by foods. So, you know, these were the Jewish Christians. These were the people that are Jewish, that were kosher. It's all right to be kosher, but you want to know what? It's not food that's going to make you holy. Be strengthened by the grace of God that comes from Calvary. Be strengthened by the grace of God. It takes the grace of God to make you a new person. It takes the grace of God to have you walk in the Spirit. It takes the grace of God. It's a free gift given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Food is good, but you know what? It can't change who you are. It can't change who you are. Food is good. And if you want to keep the dietary laws, you can do that if you please. And if you don't, you don't have to do that if you don't please. It's not what goes into a man, Jesus says. It's what comes out of his heart. And we remember what Jesus said, that what goes into a man goes into the latrine. What comes out of his heart is who the person is. So these people in this community, you know, we're being told that... their foods were okay, were beneficial in their salvation, and no. You want to keep the dietary laws? You may, and you know what? It'll do you good for your physical body too, but not for your spiritual body. For your physical body, it will do you good, but it will not do you good spiritually, because you know what? Paul was a Pharisee, born of Pharisees. He ate all the right things, saw all the right people. He knew the law, and he was killing Christians. Okay, until the revelation came to him on the Damascus Road, poor Paul, he was lost. Then, it says in the 10th verse, we have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. Now, let's see what he's trying to say. We have an altar. that those who serve the old covenant have no right to eat. This is the altar of the Lord. This is the body and blood of the Lord. Because where there is an altar, there is a sacrifice. You cannot have an altar without a sacrifice. We have an altar, this writer says, which those who serve the old covenant have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So you know what? When the letter to the Hebrews is being written, it is before the year 70. You say, how do you know that? Because the writer tells us that even now they are burning and sacrificing animals. Right now, you cannot sacrifice animals without the tabernacle, without the temple. There is no sacrificial offering for Jews without the temple of Jerusalem since the time of Solomon. So, you know, these wonderful scripture scholars say, you know, it was not written in the year 70. It was written maybe in 110. No. How do I know that? I do know that because it says that the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the tent, outside the camp. That's happening now. Then it says, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. The blood of goats and animals does no good. It cannot take away sin. But you see, Jesus also was sacrificed outside the gates of Jerusalem. He was sacrificed on Calvary, which was outside the gates of Jerusalem at that time. It is not that way now. Calvary is inside the gates of Jerusalem right now because they changed the gates. But during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would not crucify people inside the holy city, because then you would what? Make it unclean. What did they do? They took Jesus to Calvary, which was outside the gates, and they crucified him. And it's by his blood that there is an atonement, at one-ment. By his blood we are brought to the Father. By his blood we are healed. By his blood we are forgiven. By his blood we are made righteous. By his blood we are made worthy. By his blood. Remember what Peter tells us. You have not been bought with any diminishable price of silver or gold, but you have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. I will not even go into that last verse. A lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The cross is from the foundation of the world, though it happened in time. That's why we can celebrate at the altar the sacrifice of Calvary, the one sacrifice of Calvary. We can make present that one sacrifice, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever, crucified from the foundation of the world. The cross and resurrection of our Lord is transhistorical. It goes from the beginning of time to the end of time. We can also see that in the book of Revelation. It's kind of funny, you know, because, you know, many people will say, you know, don't talk about the crucified Jesus. He's risen from the dead. Hallelujah. He is risen from the dead. But you know what? Saint John says in the book of Revelation, in heaven I saw a lamb as if he had been slain. Put that in your theology. How can you see a lamb that was slain when in reality he's been raised from the dead? Hallelujah. But that's what John saw. The lamb that was slain, and the one who said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. To the thirsty I will give to drink from the water of life, from the river of life. To the hungry I will give to eat from the tree of life, that's watered from the river of life. Jesus, slain from the foundation of the earth, suffered outside of the gate in order to sanctify people through his own blood. We are made holy through the blood of Jesus. That's why, you know, I was with a couple of people a couple of weeks ago. We were in Maine, and they had these gospel stations. You know, it's the new cable radio, I call it. I don't know what it's called, FM or FX or whatever it is. I'm not into it. But the point of the matter is they had cable, it's like cable radio. And so they put on the gospel station, you know, we're hearing all these gospel songs, beautiful. So I was talking to Eric, and I said to Eric, if I had a station, I have a music station all on the blood of Jesus. All on the blood of Jesus. I tell you, the devil would not like that, because, you see, it's the blood that sanctifies us. It's the blood that makes us holy. It's the blood that justifies us. It's the blood that heals us. It's the blood that forgives us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and he shed his blood once and for all on Calvary. Once and for all. It does not need to be repeated, though we make it present at the altar. And it says that those who serve the tent or the temple have no right to eat of this altar. Why? Because they are not yet incorporated into Christ. Jesus outside the camp bearing abuse for him. Wow. Let's go back to what it said at the beginning. What did it say? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. And what does it say now? Therefore, let us go to him, Jesus, outside the camp, bearing abuse for him, just as your leaders bore abuse for Jesus. Remember what Jesus promises us. He does not promise us arthritis. He promises us persecution. He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but know I have overcome the world. Jesus does not promise us sickness, but he does promise us persecution. Peter said to Jesus one day, we have left mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, homes and lands for your sake. What are we going to get out of it? And Jesus said, more mothers, not more fathers, because you only have one. More mothers, more lands, more sisters, more brothers, and persecution beside. So it tells us, so let us go forth to Jesus, bearing abuse for him. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come. Now, let's live that way, okay? That there is no lasting place on planet Earth. This is just a place where we evangelize, where we meet people, where we bring them to the Lord. Yeah, and where we have fun. It's not a bad place. It's a good place, this Earth. We've made it miserable. But it's a good place. It was created wonderfully. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But the point of the matter is, it is no lasting city. This is not our home. This is where we hang our hats. But it is not our home. St. Paul tells us in the letter to the Philippians, we have our citizenship in heaven. It is from there that we await the coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who will give a new form to our bodies. We have no lasting home here. Therefore, we do not live as if this place is the end. This is not the end. This is just a way, just a stop on the way. We want to have influence while we're here. We want to have much influence while we're here. We want to bring people to know Jesus. We want to bring people to the cross. We want to bring people into the church. We want to have people converted. But this is not our home. And most Christians live as this is the end. This is the be-all and the end-all. And it's not. It's just
a stop on the way. And we need to be influential while we're here for the sake of the gospel. We need to be lighthouses while we're here so that the light shines for ships that are in distress, people that are in distress. We need to even be in politics while we're here so that we can influence government. We need to do those things, but we must know that we have no lasting home in this place. We are only here for a short while. Even if you live to be 100 years old, it goes by like that. 100 years is as one day with the Lord. It says 1,000 years is as one day with the Lord, and one day is as 1,000 years. God lives in eternity. We must live as if we are just passers-by in this place. Though we want to have an influence, we do not want to keep to ourselves. We want to influence people. We want to bring people to heaven. We want to bring people to the new life of grace. We want to do that. That's why we are called to preach the gospel. That's why we are called to love people. Like, who have you brought to Christ recently? Like, who have you brought to the Lord Jesus Christ recently? Who have you brought to the Lord recently? You know, you are here as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. God dwells within your hearts. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You cannot just keep this to yourself. This is too good news to keep to ourselves. We must tell people, share with people. And we don't need to be obnoxious either. When you're obnoxious, you just chase people away. That's what you do when you're obnoxious. But we also need to witness, to tell, to share. And one way of doing this is to say to the Lord, Lord, send me one today, just one that's ripe, one that's ready to hear your word. Just send me one. Send me one. Then you start praying for that one. You pray for that one. You continue to pray for that one. I remember hearing a story on radio. This teacher was an atheist, and he would get into school and he would literally, you know, throw down God and throw down Jesus. And there was this young woman who was a Christian who would go home and who would weep for him. Years later, he saw his student after he had been converted. He was a Jewish believer too. And she told him, you were so lost, I used to go home and weep for you. I tell you, her tears did it. I just heard a story the other day about this teacher who was an atheist, and he had a nun in his class, and he said to her the first day, I want to hear nothing about God or Jesus from you. This nun began to pray for this teacher and pray for this teacher, and pray even 20 years. He gets converted, and he goes to find her, and she says, the only thing I'm surprised about is that it didn't happen 17 years ago, but I'm glad it happened at least now. She says, I haven't stopped praying for you. I tell you, that kind of prayer touches the heart of God. That kind of prayer touches the heart of God. That kind of prayer touches the heart of God. Pray for people. Pray for people, especially those that are ripe. Invite people. Let people know that you care about them. Let people know that you pray for them. Tell them about the Lord. Tell them about the Lord. Tell them about the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, because you know what? If you be ashamed of the Lord, he will be ashamed of you on the last day.
And you don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be obnoxious. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through Jesus Christ, then, let us continually offer up praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Through Jesus Christ, let us continually offer up praise to God. Praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we honor you in the name of Jesus, Father. We adore you, we honor you, we praise you because you are the worthy God. You are the God who gave us your Son. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you. You are the Lord who is and was and is to come. Let us continually, the scripture says, offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. His name is Jesus. That is his name. His name is Jesus. That is his name. Let us worship God in, through, and with Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. Let us worship God because he is worthy of our worship. Let us continue to praise him because in our praises, we get the victory. Praise him today. Praise him today, even if you feel that your praise is zero. Praise him the best you can. Listen, on Wednesday we will be at the Espousal Retreat House, and you're welcome to come. And I know it is the 4th of July, but we're going to be there anyway. We're going to have our own fireworks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Wednesday we will be at the Espousal Retreat House on the 4th of July. And I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.